Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
A quick trip through time and space. Mark Olley. We're talking now about not just crystal skulls and human heads, but the implications of traveling through time. And, well, okay, so if UFOs are time travelers, and if Roswell really involved a spaceship crashing, and of course there are many debates about that, we can wonder what kind of individuals they were. But that takes us back to the Europe's Roswell, which we didn't really talk about too much, and maybe we should talk about that a little bit before we jump back into human heads and such more. And the big thing here, of course, is that America's Roswell, the original Roswell, is a cultural icon in the sense of the story. It doesn't matter that, well, perhaps there are parts of the story that aren't quite correct. Maybe there were no alien bodies. Maybe it was a test aircraft or a test balloon. Lots of possibilities for Roswell because we don't have solid wreckage. And the first memories of what happened at Roswell emerged over 30 years after the event, other than the initial stories, of course, about we got something, it's a flying disc. No, it's a balloon. And then it disappeared for 30 years until Stan Friedman was one of the people who discovered it. But with Europe's Roswell, obviously a far more recent event, let's look at this because of what was recovered. Can we say for certain we can prove it now?
Well, there's definitely parallels. I mean, I would say about the American Roswell that very recently they took a lot of interview footage that was taken of people who were there or people associated with the people who were there. And there's a new system, a computer system, which analyzes people's facial movements and body language and voice, etc. It's a very advanced computer system that will tell you in principle whether it thinks they're lying or whether they're telling the truth. I watched quite a few episodes of the series because they made a series on it, and overall, most of the original witnesses, most of the people originally involved with people at the time of the crash, came back generally speaking as telling the truth, and a lot of the officials and people connected to the government actually came back as not telling the truth. So it's beginning to look increasingly again like Roswell had an awful lot of genuine motivation to it. You know, there wasn't just smoke, there was a lot of fire as well with that. And I do know, going back to the 1990s, National Geographic sent an archaeological team out there who analysed the desert sands and found anomalies, melted metal and various other bits and bobs on a microscopic level, still out there in the desert sands. So something definitely came down, there's no doubt about that. And that sort of lays the foundation then, if you like, for what happened over here. Because on a night in January, I think it probably around about the 19th, 20th of January, 1983, something flew over the farm in Clonilla in Aberystwyth in Mid Wales, and it hit trees. It ploughed through the top of a copse of trees, and it cut a swathe through the top of the branches about 25 foot wide. So you're essentially looking at something there that's, you know, 25 foot wide, going at high speed, goes through all these branches. What we did know about the material that was recovered is that it's quite hard to break it or damage it if you attack it with something with a lot of force, because it pushes back. It has the ability to push back, and it retains its shape. You can stamp on it, hit it with a hammer, whatever, and it bounces back to its original shape. However, if you want to break it, if you get hold of it with a pair of pliers and very gently work it like a piece of eggshell, if you just try and snap it without using too much force, it will break. So what appears to have happened is this material has been a victim, if you like, of hitting the branches in the top of these trees. The tree branches have pummeled the bottom of this craft and smashed off it loads and loads and loads of fragments. of the outer coating, and to some extent, parts of the inner coating, but not enough to stop it from flying, because obviously it's flown off while shedding broken fragments over three farmers' fields. Now, the farmer got up the following morning, found these three fields completely covered in stuff that looked like tin foil, small girders, bits of sheets of metal, all sorts of stuff. So as I said, he phoned the local Air Force base, they sent somebody out, and then another team came out with a lot of plainclothes people and whatnot in there, and spent a full day doing a full cleanup operation of all three fields. But they missed a few of the fragments in amongst the trees. So you're in a very similar position here to the position you were at Roswell, except you don't have a UFO sticking in the ground somewhere with bodies hanging out of it. That never happened here in Wales, because it flew off. And then the Gary's team, they went in sort of, you know, a couple of days after the cleanup operation, went into the woods, managed to pull out a sort of a briefcase size amount of material, some sheets, some foil that's got hexagonal shapes in it, and then there's this rubber coating on the inside of most of the sheets, which seems to be where the foil was sandwiched, if you like, between to form a fuselage that's really, really strong, but very, very lightweight, extremely lightweight. And he got these fragments. And next minute, the forestry commission come in and they just cut all the trees down, destroyed the forest, got rid of it. But fortunately, Gary had nipped in the gap and managed to get these fragments. You'll find that is in essence what you get with Europe's Roswell, but you also get to see the fragments. That's the main thing. It does annoy me when you have all these UFO investigations, sightings, crashes, you know, everything, Roswell, etc., and there isn't any real physical proof. There's nothing there. Well, in this particular case, there is. That physical proof does exist. Gary was very clever as well, because he broke one of the pieces up into 100 separate fragments, put them all into key rings, and then sent the key rings out to people in the press and media, which is how I got mine, with the fragment in it, and basically with the message that, well, you know, if I get arrested, if I get the men in black turning up at my front door, you know, whatever happens, if you get the message off me, release these fragments, you know, go public with it.
Can you even say that these fragments represent something that involves technology that we can't produce? Remember, this could also be a test aircraft that has flying problems.
Yeah, it's kind of, that goes in stages, because when it came down in 1983, apparently we didn't have the technology. That's the official line. When it then got analysed at the time that the DVD was produced in the 1990s, British Aerospace said, well, we know what the metal is. The metal element in it is duralumin. It's an extremely pure form of duralumin. It's not something that we know how to produce, but that's what it is. And it's used in the control surfaces on fighter aircraft, you know, so the things that direct where the plane goes, they would be used on those. But then it's covered in this sort of green rubbery stuff that's got the hexagonal impressions in it, and that's held on by resin. And then on the other side is this coating of green paint. The green paint apparently is not an aerodynamic surface, so it's not something you'd expect to find on a plane. And they couldn't tell us what the resin was, and they couldn't tell us what this strange hexagonal rubbery substance was, other than the fact that it would conduct electricity. So that would give the effect then that the entire shell of whatever the craft was conductive. So it'd be like one gigantic electrical circuit. Presumably, if you had control over it, you could send signals and what have you through this rubbery substance all over the surface of the craft. That's in the 1990s. Fast forward again, because we're another 20, 25 years further down the line, that hexagonal debris has turned up on other sites since then. It has been found. I think somebody somewhere knows what it is. I'm fairly convinced of that. Physically speaking, I think it's of earthly manufacture, but it is what they would call super technology, and nobody's really speaking about it. Nobody's actually talking about what it is. And again, hexagons, it's interesting they pick this hexagonal pattern, because on a microscopic level now, so many years down the line, of course, you've got graphene, and graphene as a substance is essentially hexagonal, much, much smaller, microscopic in comparison to what's on this material from the 1980s. But then that does make me wonder if it's a development, you know, is graphene a development on from from what we're seeing in the wreckage.
We're talking here about what we might regard as Europe's Roswell, except that it didn't actually crash. And we're talking with Mark Ollie and Gene Steinberg and Tim Swartz in
The Paracast.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Tim, I'm sure you've got a thousand questions of Mark about this supposed UFO crash. Go ahead.
Well, my one comment is that if this were a conventional, albeit maybe black budget, top secret aircraft, you wouldn't think that if it hit the treetops and then lost all of that type of material to cover several fields and large chunks in the trees, that it would have been able to stay flying.
That was definitely stated at the time. I think it was actually a representative of the MOD. I didn't speak to them, but Gary did at the time. He did his investigation. And they basically said, well, you know, yeah, anything we've got that we can put into the air, if we had that level of damage, you need to go back again and have a look about five fields down for a couple of engines and a cockpit, you know, sticking out of the ground. But nothing was found. You know, it basically just flew off. So, yeah. Yeah, something was going on there. Whatever the technology was, it was capable of staying essentially airborne and disappearing, having lost quite a considerable amount of its underside.
Now, had anybody reported seeing any UFOs the evening that that happened? In the area or the immediate area around there?
Well, at the time we did the DVD, the answer would have been no. I didn't really know of anything else that was going on at that time. Mm-hmm. But we've done a bit more investigation since, fairly recently. A student actually saw a UFO rise out of the sea adjacent to Aberystwyth, possibly that morning. She photographed it, but she's been unable to find the photograph that she took of it, which is a real shame because I'd love to see that. But as a report, she saw something coming up out of the sea and flying inland. That seems to tie into it. And then looking at the date, which we think was the night of the 19th or 20th of January, we can't establish it absolutely, but clustered around that particular January in 1983, there are a number of other reports of sightings in the area. So it does seem to be part of something much bigger that's going on. And that's something we're still pushing into. We're still expanding that part of the investigation now. It'd be nice to see if, you know, if anything else does come back on that.
It would have been interesting to see if you talked about how the surface with the hexagonal shapes being able to conduct electricity, if anybody tried, you know, like just connecting a battery to that just to see what would happen to it if you did run an electric charge to it.
I think possibly Gary might have tried it. He might have put a couple of clips on to see what happens. I mean, I think it literally just goes live. But it's interesting because the shape of the hexagons are sort of, if you like, raised out of a thin, very thin sheet of this green rubberized material. The hexagons all go live, but the entire shell doesn't. So it's interesting the way it works. It doesn't just sort of bleed out everywhere. It's just the green layer that is conductive. I think British Aerospace discovered it was conductive initially, but they didn't go any further than that. So you would think that there was some electrical content, you know, within that green rubbery substance. There would have to be something conductive in there.
Well, one of the reasons that I asked about that is that there have been reports that some of these samples or artifacts that have been taken, that if under the right conditions and with the right amount of current, and I guess it has to be fairly specific, that they can actually induce these things to actually start regrowing almost. Now, you know, of course, since they're just chunks, they can't grow very far, but it seems to show that there's a possibility of like a self-repairing system going on with these things.
I think maybe that's possible with the rubberized components and maybe something to do with the resin that's in there, but duralumin is fixed. That is definitely a fixed metal substance. I don't know whether it would repair or not. That's interesting. Certainly the bits that we've got, the pieces we've got, don't point in that direction. And when it came down in 1983, then clearly these pieces are maybe a more primitive form of things that have been seen, you know, more recently. As you say, maybe this is some form of test craft. And actually, the test craft thing holds quite a lot of water, because when we put the DVDs out, although we sold the copies of the DVDs of Europe's Roswell that we had made, I was expecting some kind of, you know, wow factor. You know, wow, someone's actually got, you know, pieces of this UFO, and it, you know, it, maybe it's the next stage after Roswell or whatever. I thought more people would have picked up on it, but in actual fact, there was only one radio station that I did an interview with when it was released in the 1990s. It was very much like the newspaper article. There was only one newspaper article that reported on the crash, and then it vanished. So you've got the same thing happening there as happened with Roswell. You know, the newspapers covered it, and then wham, the next day, that was it. It was a weather balloon. It was dead in the water. Was covered up. The same thing seems to have happened with the program Europe's Roswell. We put that out, and then wham, it just went silent. We got absolutely no reaction to that whatsoever. So that actually kind of said to me that somehow we'd hit a raw nerve. You know, maybe what we were saying there was true, and we really genuinely did have a piece of something. It was no longer, it was just blind faith and belief in, you know, flying lights and little grey men. We had something physically there, and basically everybody just didn't want to know. You know, it's hands off. They didn't want to cover it. They didn't want to admit it. You know, it was in nobody's interest to accept that that had actually happened, which again is exactly what happened with Roswell. You know, the witnesses, the eyewitnesses and the people involved there had a really, really bad time of it early on for many, many years. Some of them died without ever being vindicated, you know. And something definitely came down at Roswell, and something definitely came down in Wales. Maybe it's time in the 21st century for someone to put the hand up and go, yes, it was one of ours, you know, even if it's alien. Yeah, if they've got alien craft stuck in a hangar somewhere, you know, or they've genetically engineered little pilots to fly these weird things, you know, maybe it was something that Tesla invented or whatever. You know, they need to just come out and go, yes, we have them. Here they are, you know? It well, needs you to know, happen.
Going back to the earlier conversation about, you know, time machine and time travels, you know, there was a book written by Michael Matthews, called Identified Flying Objects, a Multidisciplinary Science Approach to the UFO Phenomena. Yep. And he postulates, I mean, and it's not, you know, it's not a new idea, that UFOs are time machines with time travelers, possibly both extraterrestrial and humans from our future. But one of the main points that he puts out is that he believes in the time block theory.
Let's explain that in our next segment. It is complicated. Tim, Mark, and Gene, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
If you're like most Americans, you're pretty much in disbelief with what's going on in the world. As we all know, global problems are having local consequences. Too many of them. And if the peanut butter really hits the fan, are you ready? Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Now's the time to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. Our food kits will ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Having food storage in your home beats government food lines hands down. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today and prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA Radio News with Kenneth Burns.
President Biden has delivered what's billed as a major address on Ukraine from Warsaw.
Let us resolve to put the strength of democracies into action to thwart the designs of autocracy. Let us remember that the test of this moment is the test of all time.
Biden delivered the speech after meeting with Ukrainian refugees in Poland. It comes as Russia is signaling that it is implementing a new strategy in its invasion of Ukraine. Special advisor at the White House National Security Council, Matthew Miller, telling ABC's Good Morning America that the administration is not looking at Russia's words.
We always wait to see what Russia actually does, not just take for granted what it actually says, because from the beginning of this conflict, they have never been honest about their aims.
Miller adds that while the U.S. was warning of a Russian invasion, the Kremlin downplayed things, accusing America of fear-mongering. This is USA Radio News. The Biden administration is calling for tougher sanctions against North Korea. Pyongyang test-fired its biggest intercontinental ballistic missile to date. Kim Jong-un said his country is preparing for what it called a long-standing confrontation with the United States. The call for sanctions happened during Friday's meeting of the UN Security Council. The Assembly of First Nations in Canada wants an apology, a public one, from the Vatican. This after last year's discovery of about 200 unmarked and previously undocumented graves of children at what was Canada's largest Indigenous residential school in British Columbia. It was one of several similar sites in that country. A meeting between First Nations and Vatican is set for next week. Tyree Sampson, who died on an amusement ride in Florida late Thursday, is being remembered. The 14-year-old fell to his death on the Orlando Freefall at Icon Park. The ride had only been in operation for a few months, passing inspection in December. The Florida Agriculture and Consumer Services Department is investigating the cause. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP. As slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
This is Leslie Kane, and I'm with the Coalition for Freedom of Information, and you are listening to the Paracast.
I asked Dr. Masters. He was a guest on the Paracast not too long ago. Let's see. We had him on twice, once on January 24th, 2021, the other June 30th, 2019. So if you want to listen, folks, to those interviews, they're available from the Paracast archives. And we did, of course, cover this. But now this time block theory. Now, this is different than the theory that if you go back 100 years and screw something up, it'll be like in the TV show Legends of Tomorrow. You have to deal with the consequences, or Back to the Future. This was something very different. Go ahead, Tim.
Well, he postulates, and this isn't new. I mean, this is something that physicists have been talking about for a while, that time is fixed, that the past, present, and future exist all at the same time, and that the future can't be changed, the past can't be changed, the present is the present. So if you go back in the past, you can't change anything because it's already happened. You going into the past is part of time. You know? So anything that you do there is because it already happened. That's hard for a lot of people to wrap their head around, but it's basically saying that anything that you do now was meant to happen, and that it's going to happen no matter what.
That means, for example, if you decide, I'll go back to 1963, to Dallas, Texas, to prevent the killing of JFK. And you can't.
You can't. Right.
Nope. I think people struggle with it because it takes away the idea that as human beings that we function with free will. It interferes with that idea of freedom. But at the end of the day, we are limited by our possibilities. We are limited within a path of life. So we do still retain free will, but only within a certain number of choices. And once, as you say, once that choice is made, once it fades into the past, then it's just a game of consequences, because it then just feeds into, you know, once the decision's made. So I think there's a little bit of flexibility in there. I lean towards the idea that time must be set. There must be a future for people to be able to see what the future is. You know, people have done that in the past. They've been really good at predicting stuff in the past. So obviously somebody's got a handle on how to do that. And as you say, once the past is done, it kind of disappears off, if you like. If you could sip across to the other side of the galaxy and receive the light waves coming from Earth and, you know, decode them, you would see the past, because, you know, that's what's happening. That past is flowing. It's flowing away from us. So, yeah. I lean towards that. But then, you know, maybe somebody has cracked a method, come up with a way to do just that, to jump back into and have a look at what's going on. You know, maybe it's not quite as fluid as we think it is.
Well, if you went back to see what was going on, it would have to be like going on a ride where the ride is always the same and you cannot change the events. You can only witness them.
Yeah, you can interact too, because that's what happened. You know, it's already happened that you went back into the past and interacted.
Well, yeah. You see, Ben, if that's complicated, you say, well, what if on the other side of the galaxy they are able to see what happened here on Earth 100,000 years ago? Or they're in the nearby planet, say Proxima Centauri, vintage, 4 light years away. It takes 4 years and some months for what happens here to reach the other planet. And they're looking at us, and they see something. But if you can change time, all that changes too.
Mm-hmm.
It's changing constantly, as time is not infinite and is not permanent.
Maybe the explanation lies in what I would call fixed variables, which again is this, you know, you can do a certain number of things, but only within certain limits. And as you say, if you were to go back and do something in the past, then in our time now, that's already happened. But then maybe that was meant to happen. So that's part of the plan. So you haven't actually changed anything. You're still operating within fixed limitations. So again, that's what it is. It's avoiding the idea that things just completely run amok and have no structure and are constantly changeable. It's just going back to the idea that there is this fixed structure behind everything, which, yeah, I think I'd go along with that.
What happens in another sci-fi concept is that in the future they set up a group of time cops. And the mission of the time cops is to make sure that those who travel into the past don't screw things up.
You guys really love your sci-fi. Wow. I mean, the classic example of that's Terminator, isn't it? I mean, the whole Terminator franchise is all over the place with the idea of bouncing back and to and trying to, you know, stop things and start things and police things and, you know, try and protect things from finishing up going horribly wrong. The really scary thing, I mean, you guys are, you know, very well versed in sci-fi and what have you. The scary thing is how often the science fiction predicts the science fact. You know, it's like, yeah, you know, are we somehow paying the past forward so that we can know what's coming up somehow before it's actually here? And then we sort of lay the ground rules in the past for what's about to come up in the future that was supposed to happen in the future. So as someone who's creative, as dipping in, if you like, to the well of creativity, very often a lot of people come up with the same ideas at exactly the same time, all over planet Earth, with apparently no connection whatsoever, or they all see the same thing, or they all create the same thing, or they all think the same thing. And then, of course, time, humanity, the planet then moves forward on that basis.
Can that explain also why it seems, you know, that when they release a movie about something, there is a competing movie covering a similar topic at the same time? No, it's not that. It's because the production companies or the agents or all the people involved in the movie exchange or share information, and one company says, hey, let's get out of our picture first, and maybe we'll get some of the box office.
That could be true of movie making, but when you get something that happens that's unrelated, so you might have, you know, an album released by a band in Japan that happens to deal with the same subject matter as, you know, a television producer over here in Manchester happens to be doing a documentary of, you know, and then all of a sudden, you know, something else that's related to the same topic appears, you know, say in Australia, and then somebody in America does it, and these people are not talking to each other. You know, this is how sometimes trends, entire trends, begin by creative people somehow coming up with the same creative impulse.
But it's also possible, in addition to the paranormal aspect, that a lot of these people are influenced by the same thing.
Yes.
So when the Beatles first came out, we had lots of bands that were influenced by American rock and roll, American country, American rhythm and blues, and coming up with their own variations on the theme. And a lot of them knew each other because they played together at different clubs. And suddenly you have this whole branch of people going out there with their music, and the Beatles hit, and the Rolling Stones hit, and the lesser bands hit. But it all started from the same influence, and maybe it's possible some of these stories, movies, whatever, influenced by something that is related, and they all go in their own direction.
Yeah, I could totally agree with that. There were other bands around at the time of the Beatles that sounded very similar to the Beatles, and the Beatles are very much a product of rock and roll, which of course was 1950s rather than 1960s. But rock and roll in turn, believe it or not, goes all the way back to some of the more cutting-edge revolutionary big band arrangements and what have you, the 1940s. People used to say to me, you know, where do you think the origins of rock and heavy metal, you know, and all this sort of stuff is, you know, where are the origins of that? Well, you know, without any doubt whatsoever, I would say it goes back to the big bands. It goes back to, you know, the arrangements that were being done.
More to come with Tim and Gene and Mark. You're in
the Pedicast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
Stock market have you nervous? With geopolitical conflict and inflation concerns, it's virtually impossible to guess what will happen next. But with Vantage Point, you don't have to. Learn to trade with artificial intelligence. Text the word DEMO to 813813 and discover how to predict stock market trends up to 3 days ahead with incredible accuracy. Whether you trade stocks, options, forex, futures, or crypto, Vantage Point's patented artificial intelligence can give you a massive edge. Text DEMO to 813813 to get what you need to stay ahead of the markets and find big moves before they happen. Don't wait. Text DEMO to 813813.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance. By texting DEMO, you agree to the terms available at VantagePointSoftware.com/terms and consent to receive calls and text using automated technology about offers or info by or on behalf of VantagePoint. Your consent is not a condition of purchase and can be revoked at any time. Message and data rates may apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. and I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally, and it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Tehibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. shopsupertea.com.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So yes, you can trace music back to what, the 30s and 40s, and find things that influence current rock and roll. Of course, Paul McCartney was very much influenced by the big bands.
Absolutely. The classic big band is Glenn Miller. My great-granddad was very much influenced by Glenn Miller, so I got to hear some of the Glenn Miller records. You listen to some of those, and, you know, it's the classic arrangement where you've got an intro, verse, chorus, solo, verse, chorus, funny bit at the end. There's lots of arrangements like that where you think, well, that's, you know, Ozzy Osbourne's latest album. You know, strange intro, verse, chorus, guitar solo, verse, chorus, and there's the ending. It's basically, it's the same arrangement. And the freedom that somebody like Glenn Miller gave to the other instrumentalists to burst forward, and you know, it's not widely known, but he used a lot of vocals as well. There's a lot of lyrics. Pennsylvania one, that one in particular, has got singing on it, you know. Again, it's, yes, it is a development on from that. I'm fairly sure that McCartney will have been aware of that, because Glenn Miller actually played my hometown here. He came to RAF Burton Wood, Warrington, and played here. And we actually physically had the American big band sound within about 6 miles of Paul McCartney's house, you know, in Liverpool.
Sure, so, and look at some of the songs Paul McCartney wrote.
Yeah.
They're heavily influenced by earlier music like Honey Pie.
When you have something like that, though, and then all of a sudden it happens where it's disconnected, where it happens all over the world, you know, and everybody's kind of coming up with the same ideas, that's when it starts to get, like, a bit strange. You know, you think, wow, maybe you're right, maybe it's just the human brain's way of bringing lots of disparate threads together. But the further back you go in time, the less communication was actually going on between people. We forget that the technology we've got now, you know, only really kind of took off after the Second World War. A lot of people prior to that didn't really communicate, but you get entire movements, you know, you get things like the Renaissance and what have you happening, but people just didn't communicate and travel to the same extent back then that they do now. But there are similarities in what people are coming up with, and it does make you wonder if there's not this enormous creative bucket somewhere that you can dip into. Tesla actually said that he could appreciate that there was this somewhere out there in the universe, this enormous creative pot that, you know, he was getting his ideas out of, other people were getting their ideas from it, but couldn't really understand what this enormous creative well of stuff was. It was just there, you know, for us to dip into.
It's like, for example, Paul McCartney dreamed some of his most famous songs. Let It Be. He dreamed of his mother saying something common like, if things get difficult, just let it be. And he dreamed the melody for Yesterday. In fact, when Yesterday came out, he said, this is so familiar, it must be something I remember and copied from somebody else. And he'd ask around. And it took a little bit of time before he recognized it was his own original theme. But he dreamed of it. Think of how many things people dream that become part of their creative process.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, in the music business, there's very often a time when somebody will release a record, and we used to have this joke in the studio where we'd all sit around and we'd say, well, you can imagine sort of in a writing session, you know, somebody walking in and saying, well, you know, last night I came up with this tune, and it goes something like this, you know, and they bash out something like the guitar solo from Stairway to Heaven, and you think, where on earth did that come from? How did they get to that? You know, these moments where we take a leap of creativity, you know, and it happens to an awful lot of creatives. It happens all the time. There'll be loads of people listening to this thinking, you know, I wrote a poem, I did a painting, I, you know, took the best photograph ever, or I play guitar, or I play whatever instrument, piano, and I wrote this amazing piece. And they will all probably to a man say, you know, and I just have no idea where that came from. Absolutely no idea at all. Just came out of the blue. Don't know where it came from. I get that moment when I'm writing books. You know, occasionally I'm writing books and something will just send me off, you know, in a direction. And I think, you know, I have no idea where that came from.
You know, when my son and I were writing a sci-fi novel, the first one, Attack of the Rockoids, okay? And it's something we mentioned in the commercial, how to get the book. But anyway, I remember some passages, some sections of the book that I dreamed. And I'd tell it to Grayson, we would set it down. I don't know where he was coming up with ideas. He'd come around into the bedroom before he left home as a teenager and late teenager and a college student. And he would come up with his ideas, and we'd mesh those ideas and come up with something. Something we can't do now because he lives so many thousands of miles away. He lives in Madrid, although he's getting back into writing again, so one never knows. But when we talk about the source of this is a universal consciousness that we all tap into. And sometimes we can control the process a bit more, and if so, we become creative, and some of us become rock billionaires like Paul McCartney. He's worth $1.5 billion. I'd hate to see his taxes. You know, he's got like 100 accountants making themselves rich. Oh, we're doing Paul McCartney's taxes. Ah, you know, we got that one, the big one. But seriously speaking, maybe he learned how to tap this universal consciousness more reliably than somebody else. Or do you learn?
It used to be a joke going around Liverpool that Paul McCartney actually never really bothered by how much was in his bank. And at the end of each year, he would just phone up his accountant and say, how many zeros? He'd just ask how many zeros had been added. Oh, dear. Yeah, the whole creativity thing, the idea of coming up with an idea that you can't sort of really attribute to yourself. I'd come up with a term for it. I'd say it's called ambushed by creativity. That seems to fit it. It's like you're ambushed by creativity. It sneaks up on you when you don't expect it, and then it suddenly happens, and you think, wow, I really didn't see that coming. So maybe someone's going to write a book. Maybe someone should write a book on that in the future. Ambushed by creativity.
Well, it's, again, do you have to get into a certain state of mind to open yourself up to this creative force and produce something? Because if that's the case, you know, I missed out. Not that I haven't written books, I have. Not that I haven't written short stories or thousands of articles, I have. But I didn't quite get into the universal consciousness here.
No, I have good days and bad days. I don't think it's the fault of the universal consciousness. I think it comes down to us and sort of where we're at as biological entities. I think we all have good days and bad days, you know. Yeah, definitely.
Of course, Tim has also written 2,000 books, right?
Not quite 2,000, just 1,000.
1,998.
There you go.
Right. He'll tell you about that when after the Paracast, how to get some of his books, because they're very interesting. And did a lot of work with the great, late, great Tim Beckley.
Right. Yes.
You know who Tim Beckley was, Mark?
The name definitely rings a bell, but you've got to bear in mind that things don't always make it across the pond. We don't always get things over here in the UK the same as you do over in America. So, and again, it's a big area to follow.
Yes, it is, and it's endless. By the way, listeners want to know where they can find more of what you do, learn more about you, Mark, where can they go? Do you have a website?
Funnily enough, I don't actually have a website. There's a load of stuff on YouTube, absolutely tons of it. If you type in my name, Mark Ollie, O-L-L-Y, if you type in Lost Treasures, you'll find a load of stuff that will come up under that banner. There's just lots of stuff. There's interviews, there's photographs, there's television work, there's all sorts of stuff out there. If people want to sort of really find out what I'm up to and what I'm doing, if they do a search on Facebook, I think there's only two of us out there. There's only two Mark Ollies. One's me and the other one's my son. So you'll find your way to me eventually. Come and link with me on Facebook. You know, I do take friend applications.
Thank you, Mark. And the book is Crystal Skulls and Human Heads. We'll talk more with Mark on After the Paracast, our premium show. You can find us on Twitter, The Paracast, The Paracast on Facebook. Check out theparacast.shop for branded merchandise with our logos, the t-shirts, the hats and all that other good stuff, theparacast.shop. Visit theparacast.plus to learn about our premium subscription package, which includes this show free of the network ads, better quality audio, and the exclusive After the Paracast podcast. Theparacast.plus. Use the coupon code UFO20, get a 20% discount on a 5-year or a lifetime subscription, the Paracast.plus. Mark Ollie, glad to meet you. Thank you for joining us on the Paracast.
Thank you for having me.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. John Hess, 5 out of 5 stars. Awesome. Probably my only review, but at age 40, I was getting bad heart throb and left arm pain, mainly before bed. I even stopped smoking and drinking sodas for a month, and that didn't work. After one day of taking Extendivite, it was gone and hasn't returned in 3 years. I've ordered Extendivite 13 times, so Amazon just said. Juliet Hordick. I've ordered this product before in liquid form. It is fantastic. My whole family's been on it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.